From Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and in the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in the good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture in the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. I want you to take a moment this evening and think about a time when you lost something. Something like your keys or your wallet or your phone. Or maybe something more important to you. A gift that somebody gave you or a picture or a handmade object that was irreplaceable. Losing stuff sticks with us, doesn't it? I still have this very early childhood memory of going to a play date at this little boy's house. We were playing with those little Fisher-Price characters, and in the midst of playing, we lost the grandpa character. We spent the rest of our afternoon looking for it. We were still looking when my mom declared that it was time to go. To this day, I don't know if it was ever found. And the thing is, I don't even remember the kid's name that I was playing with. I just remember that we lost the grandpa. So remember what it is like to lose something. And then remember a time when you were lost. Perhaps you got lost while driving or while out on a hike. Perhaps you got separated from family or friends in a store or while in a crowd. I remember once in my teenage years when I was too old to be getting lost, I got lost from my mom and sister in Kmart for like 20 minutes, and I couldn't find them, and the relief I felt when I finally turned the corner and saw them standing there. Because it's just as distressing to be lost as it is to lose something. And of course, not all of our loss is physical. In fact, sometimes the most impactful losses in our life have nothing to do with keys or wallets or making a wrong turn. Instead, they're losses that are harder to explain. So I want you to think for a moment of a time when you were lost, even if you knew exactly where you were physically. Perhaps you were lost because something tragic happened in your life. Perhaps you were lost because somebody or something you trusted was no longer there. Perhaps you were lost because you didn't know what decision to make or which way to turn in your life. Perhaps you were spiritually lost and you didn't even know what to believe anymore. These experiences of loss are disorienting, and they can be devastating. But there's also promises of God to be found when we're lost. Our scripture from Ezekiel that we've been reading this evening is all about the promise of God when we're lost. Ezekiel is a prophet to the lost. He's talking to a people who've been exiled, who are beginning to return home but are still lost. Nothing is like what they remember. They aren't even sure they can count on God anymore. And yet Ezekiel offers them this reminder that God is their shepherd. And just like a good shepherd, God will go to any length necessary to find his sheep. This is a scripture passage of comfort. It's one that's full of promises to us about how God will act when we're lost. And so we focus on three of those promises tonight. God will search for us, God will rescue us, and God will heal us. First, when we're lost, We have the promise that God's going to search for us. As God's children, there's nowhere where we can go. There's nothing we can do. And there's nothing that can happen to us that will stop God from searching for us. God knows when we're lost. God knows all that we're facing in our lives. And so God knows when we need to be searched for. We can't go anywhere or do anything that's outside the realm of God. Because God loves us unconditionally. Because God's grace and mercy are always extended to us. God will seek us when we're lost. We have the promise that God will search for us. And we have the promise that God will rescue us. A lot of this passage from Ezekiel is about how the good shepherd not only finds the sheep, but then goes to bring them back home. And therefore, the people of God have the promise that God's going to bring them home too. Even if home looks different, even if being found looks different than what it looked like before we were lost, God promises to rescue us. We aren't going to be lost forever. We have the promise that God is going to deliver us from whatever we face. We have the promise that God is with us, and we won't be lost forever. We have the promise that God will search for us. We have the promise that God will rescue us. And finally, we have the promise that God will heal us. In the scripture, Ezekiel promises the people that they will be fed, and that the good shepherd binds up the injured and strengthens the weak. This promise is that once God finds us and rescues us, that God will help us do the difficult work to heal from being lost. Our experiences of being lost can be hurtful and harmful, and it can take time and grace to heal from those things. But the promise of God that we're offered here is that God will walk with us as we heal. God will provide healing power to us. This passage from Ezekiel offers us promises for when we're lost. The promise that God will search for us, rescue us, and heal us. Poet Jan Richardson writes these words about being lost in an introduction to a poem that she titles Lost Blessing. She writes, "It can be uncomfortable at the least to let ourselves become lost. Letting go of familiar landmarks that have helped us know where and who we are can come with no small amount of pain, even as it opens the possibility of worlds we never imagined. Of all the blessings I'm navigating on my journey with grief, the sensation of being lost in my own life is one of the most bewildering and difficult. Yet I'm finding it's also a place of remarkable grace. For now, letting myself be lost means letting there be some things in my life that I don't have to figure out just yet. It means allowing myself plenty of time to be in the studio, exploring new creative directions without an agenda or impending deadline. It means giving myself time to rest, to wander, and to dream my way towards the next right step. This is a new blessing born of being in that lost and graced place. Begun during my recent time in Ireland," she says, "a place of much solace that has helped me feel a little less lost. Lost Blessing," this is titled. If you are feeling lost in your life, this is for you. Deep peace to you. This is called Lost Blessing. It doesn't always mean to go astray, but somehow this blessing knew it would find you here. Here in this place where even you don't know where you are. This blessing regrets to say it left its compass at home. It is without map, chart, GPS. It has hardly any native sense of direction. This blessing appears to be nearly useless, in fact. But, and I know this might not be encouraging, it purely loves getting lost. This blessing has learned to breathe when it has left every landmark behind, when it has seen its last signpost, when dark has begun to fall while it is still far from home. This blessing knows the prayers to say when it has misplaced its way, the chance that will help it find the path where it seems no path could ever be. This blessing is good at finding fellow travelers. It loves the company of the lost, the wandering, the confused, the ones who have been walking in circles for days. Loves helping them find water, shelter, shade. Loves keeping vigil so they can safely rest. The point of this blessing is that it has no real point. It just wants you to know that you are not alone, have never been, will never be, that it will go with you, will wander with you, as long as you want, as long as it takes, gladly being lost with you until your way appears. When Jesus came and lived among us, he did so as God with us, as one who walks with us, as one who finds us when we're lost, as one who rescues, as one who heals. And he did that when he gathered with his disciples around the table, when he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified. And he took bread, and he broke the bread. And he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is the body of Christ, and it's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son's holy name, we pray. Amen.